Good morning. I am so excited to be here with you. My name is Shannon Baxter. I am the pastor of Congregational Connection here at West End United Methodist. And I'm so excited to be in worship with you, whether you're here sitting in the pews or if you're joining us online. Thank you so much for taking time to be a part of this worship community. If you are a first-time visitor, I want to thank you for coming, first off, but I also want to encourage you to let us know how we can get in contact with you so that we can create a relationship and help you understand how to get more involved in the life of the church. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are pew pads that can be passed down the row if you leave your name and any contact information you'd like to leave for us. If you're joining us online, you can do the same with the link on the screen. There is also a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan and offer us that information that same way. But please reach out to us and let us know how we can better connect with you. We do have a few announcements. I want to encourage you, as you take your bulletin and read over it today, I encourage you to take it home with you. Attach it to your refrigerator, put it on your nightstand, whatever it might be, so you can keep up with what's going on in the life of the church. The first thing we have going on today is Chat and Chew. We invite all college students, undergraduate and graduate, to join us for lunch right after this service. We'll meet in the narthex just at the back of the sanctuary, and we'll gather together and walk together and offer a meal for you to source you and to resource you with a relationship as well as with sustenance. So please be happy to join us there. We have a West End family meetup that is going on as we speak downstairs in the gym. So folks who came to the early service are down there hanging out with their kiddos. If you would like to join in part of that after the service is over, it's going to be pancakes and playtime. So please feel free to come down and be a part of that. We have a new member class coming up on Sunday, February 9th. It'll take place upstairs in our fourth story theater. Starting at 9:45, we'll go for about an hour and a half, and we'll learn what it is that West End is all about, how we can get further involved with this church, as well as meet new people. We have more than 30 people signed up for that class, so it'll be a great opportunity to meet and greet and to get inside and see what's going on in the life of the church. I want to encourage you also, if you'll take your bulletin and turn to a page that says TheoEd, there's information on a new event that we have coming up in the life of the church. We have combined resources with Emory's Candler School of Theology and the Tennessee Western Kentucky Annual Conference to offer an event that is a TED Talk style event about spirituality and faith. This is a great opportunity to come and be a part of opening up the discussion, the conversation about deepening our theological discourse. This is also something that is available not just to us here, but is available to the community. So if there's somebody that you have been thinking of that you would like to bring alongside you and you think would get a lot out of this, feel free to invite them. Tickets are $10, but if you have someone that you want to invite, we have some free tickets. So just let us know and we'll be able to get that for you. But check out the bulletin for information, also theoed.com. Our first Wednesday program is coming up, not this coming Wednesday, but next week. We'll gather in McWhirter Hall downstairs at 5:15 for supper. If you'll register for that, we'll know how many people to prepare for. And then we'll have a program. We'll be doing a deep dive into Methodism. So if there's some things you wanted to know about our theology and about who we are as United Methodists, I encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then our last thing, directly following this service, our youth group will be meeting upstairs. Those who are going on the Alaska mission trip are going to be meeting to start preparing for that trip. So I encourage you to pray for them, to keep them in your thoughts as for the youth and the adults so that they can follow God's leading where it is they're going to serve. Today we continue our series of Who's Calling You. Today we'll look at Luke's account of Jesus's trip back to his hometown where he declares his mission to the world. I pray that as we hear these words and as we pray them together, that we can hear God's leading, guiding us to find that place of service that God is calling us to.
call to worship printed in your bulletin. God of Scripture, we gather this morning to worship you. God of love, we trust in your presence among us. God of justice, we know you call us to action. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Holy God, we confess that too often we are like the people listening to Jesus that day in the synagogue, astounded and confused. We miss the signs of your presence among us because we are too focused on our own plans and preconceived notions. We ignore the call to justice for all people because we believe we know what is right and fair. We pay more attention to the voices of the world than to your voice. Forgive us, we pray. May we trust in your love and grace. May we believe that you are who you say you are, and may we be inspired to move with boldness toward those on the margins as you did. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel, the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 835 in your pew Bible or page 252 in the story Bible. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
the adults to have a seat, but I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's time together. So don't be shy. Come on down and join us. As I said in the early service, it gets kind of lonely up here, so I'm glad you guys get to come and spend some time with us. Hey there, dude. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm so happy to see you guys today. Thank you for coming up here. I'm going to start out by making a statement. I'm going to say something to you. You are good at something. Has anybody ever said that to you? That you're good at something? I hope they have. I'm sure we have some amazing artists up here, some great ball players, all kinds of different things that we are good at. And did you know what? That you have something you're good at. And do you know why you have something you're good at? Because God made you that way. God made you a very unique and special way that you are good at something. And we can use those things that we're good at to help other people, most importantly, to help other people know that God loves them and that God has made them special and unique. So as we leave today, as you go to children's church, as you go to lunch afterwards, I want you to think about the people that are sitting around you. I want you to look at them and say, you know what? God made them special, and they're good at something. And maybe I'll pray, and no, not maybe, my prayer is that they will find that thing. Can you do that? Can we do that together? All right, can y'all pray with me? Awesome. God, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks that you tell us how good we are and that you remind us that you have given us special gifts and talents to help other people know who you are. So God, as we leave from here today, open our hearts and minds to your Spirit so that we can do what you've called us to do, so that we can tell others about your love. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite you, if you're 3, 4, 5, or in kindergarten, to go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. That's awesome. All right, church is over, right? The kids have told us what they need. I'm going to start out by reading from a book that is one of my favorites from seminary. I was in my early 30s when I began literally to wake up to questions about my vocation. By all appearances, things were going well, but the soul does not put much stock in appearances. Seeing a path more purposeful than accumulating wealth, holding power, winning at competition, or securing a career, I had started to understand that it is indeed possible to live a life other than one's own. Fearful that I was doing just that, but uncertain about the deeper, truer life, I sensed hidden inside me, uncertain whether it was real or trustworthy or within reach, I would snap awake in the middle of the night and stare for long hours at the ceiling. Then I ran across the old Quaker saying, "Let your life speak." I found those words encouraging, and I thought I understood what they meant. Let the highest truths and values guide you. Live up to those demanding standards in everything you do. Because I had heroes at the time who seemed to be doing exactly that, this exhortation had incarnate meaning for me. It meant living a life like that of Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Mahatma Gandhi, or Dorothy Day, a life of high purpose. So I lined up the loftiest ideals I could find and set out to achieve them. The results were rarely admirable, often laughable, and sometimes grotesque. But always they were unreal. A distortion of my true self, as must be the case when one lives from the outside in, not from the inside out. I had simply found a noble way to live a life that was not my own, a life spent imitating heroes instead of listening to my heart. As we hear these words from Parker Palmer this morning, I think many of us can identify with the struggle he expresses. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the question, who is calling you? Palmer names for us some of the ways we go about attempting to answer that question, trying to identify the truth behind every voice that speaks into our lives. Which ones do we give our attention to? Which ones do connect with who we really are? Which ones offer a glimpse of a life lived well? And which ones take us down a path of self-doubt or unhappiness? I love how he identifies a struggle even when the external voices are what we would perceive as being good. Who better to live up to than Gandhi and MLK? His book that this passage comes from is one about his journey to find that vocation. As Frederick Buechner defines it, vocation is that place where our passions and the needs of the world meet. It's that thing that our deepest self simply won't let us not do. Let me say that one more time. It's that thing that our deepest self simply won't let us not do. Palmer goes on to say that we find those passions by listening to the very core of who we were created to be. In our scripture passage today, I believe that Jesus is taking the opportunity to reveal his passion to the world. It's a passion that is directly connected to who he is and is an expression of trust in where God is leading him. The story in Luke directly follows Jesus' journey into the wilderness, which comes right after his baptism by John. The journey Jesus took of being claimed by God and time spent coming to terms with who he is and how he has lived out his ministry brings him to that moment where he must declare for himself and to the people crowding around him what his calling is, who he is called to serve. I think it's important that this moment in time takes place in Jesus' hometown. He's surrounded by the people who would feel they knew him best. They know his parents. Many saw him grow up. I think for me, it would almost be like going back to my high school reunion, or worse, going into the lunchroom. Thoughts would be racing through my mind, wondering what they think about me and the path that I've chosen to follow. Now, here's a moment of confession. The reason I worry is because I'm thinking those same things about them. If I'm thinking these things, what are they thinking about me? Jesus, no doubt, had similar types of thoughts running through his mind. The story we read last week about Jesus turning water into wine, among potentially other accounts, may have been ones that the townsfolk heard about Jesus. They wondered if they had heard those stories correctly. Joseph's son did that? God spoke out loud to him? I'm going to have to see that for myself. It's this environment that Jesus comes back to, and it is the one that he is determined to make his declaration. Surrounded by hearts that at the same time were amazed and likely doubting, I like to think that Jesus in this moment remembered the words spoken over him at his baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. As we self-reflect about our own journeys of searching for the next right step in our lives, my prayer is that we will, like Jesus, start at the waters of baptism. For it is in that place that our belovedness is also proclaimed. Hear these words from our United Methodist baptismal liturgy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. These words of adoption into the family of God guide us along that path to recognize our inner voice, the voice that helps to find that uniqueness and name it for us, and leads us to our vocation, which is our path to working alongside God in a way that reflects the beauty we have as God's creation. And it's this knowledge of God's blessing over us that allows us to hear Jesus' statement as a claim that we can make for ourselves. The words Jesus reads to the synagogue that day are not inconsequential. Coming from the prophet Isaiah, they speak of someone who has been appointed to proclaim God's favor for those who, by all rights, may not feel that they live within God's favor. As we read about Jesus claiming and proclaiming this as his mission, that inner voice, the Spirit speaks us to remind us that we are called to love God and neighbor. I'm sure each of us, whether in a literal or metaphorical sense, can find ourselves described in who Jesus is called to serve. Knowing the blessing of being claimed by the God of the universe, we come to recognize a desire to ensure that those around us experience that same sense of claim. What that looks like for each of us is up to us to discover. It's unique to who we are as God's living creation. I think that's an important distinction to keep in mind. God does not desire us to be blind followers or automatons, but co-laborers. In the creation narrative, in the book of Genesis, the writer says that God breathed the breath of life into humanity. God didn't just put in batteries and turn us on. God breathed God's breath, life-giving breath, into us. We are made to have the Spirit of God living within us, empowering us to do some pretty amazing things for the flourishing of God's people. When I think about that, it gives me goosebumps. It makes me excited for the journey to honing that vocation, to finding that next passion and making it known to the world around me. Now, there's a bravery in proclaiming our vocation to the world. As you'll notice in the verses after what we read this morning, you'll see how the people in his hometown reacted when he had a word to say about them. They reacted by trying to throw him off a cliff. Listening for that inner voice to lead us does not promise a worry-free life. God offers us an abundant life, but not necessarily a secure one. We have enough interaction with our world to know that there are people who faithfully live their calling out in the world, yet today struggle with food insecurity, low wages, emotional distress, warfare on their front porch, homelessness, and pain at the hands of power-hungry people. Bravery is living into our vocation in the midst of these and other difficulties. And we're called to proclaim release, favor, and healing to those who are marginalized or persecuted. We may be called to live in community with them and to suffer just as they do. We may be called to plead for mercy towards them from those who are in power. We may be called to stand in solidarity with those who would be cruelly deported or find ourselves in position between a gun and the students in our schools. As Jesus would show us throughout his life, celebrating the presence of God with us and living with the hope of God's promised kingdom becomes our abundant life, even as we experience hardship and pain. So who's calling you? My hope is that you hear God's Spirit deep down inside of you, calling out to you to live your true self, to discover your gifts and talents, to find your passions, and to live into them. In the words of Parker Palmer again, discovering vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond my reach, but accepting the treasure of true self that I already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to be something that I am not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth. As we journey together, let's return, or for some of us, let's turn for the first time to these waters of baptism. Let's hear those words of God proclaiming our belovedness and then claim the path, claim our vocation that path leads us on. Let your life speak of who you are, of who God made you to be, and who God's Spirit calls you to become. Amen. Today, as we celebrate those who have journeyed on the path of self-discovery, we celebrate in two different ways. These individuals have come to make a stand for who they are and what God has called them to be. At the end of the service, we will welcome two individuals who have come into this community and have said that they want this to be their home and they wish to grow in their faith amongst us. We are also celebrating members of the church who have accepted the invitation to become part of the leadership of this community of faith. In their search for a place to serve, these individuals have recognized that part of their vocation, part of their passion, is to assist our congregation in caring for this place and being a part of what God is calling us to do. They bring their gifts to bear for the benefit of all of God's kingdom. And so Pastor Carol will now lead us in this moment of prayer and consecration for them and for all of us as we seek God's guidance to remain faithful to the call to love God and love our neighbor.
A couple of weeks ago in worship, we celebrated the remembrance of baptism, and we invited all who were present to write your name on a blue ribbon and bring it to the altar. And we tied those ribbons here and at the baptismal font as a reminder that the waters of baptism claim us and name us. And through the waters of baptism, we are all called to ministry. In our midst, in our congregation, there are some among us who have been called to particular roles of leadership and ministry in our congregation. Yesterday, a group of leaders gathered for our annual leadership retreat and began praying and planning and dreaming and discerning where God is calling us as a congregation. And I would like to invite all of those who have been called into positions of leadership in our congregation, serving on any committee, any leadership group in the church, to please stand where you are as you're able. And we want to say a word of prayer for you. Thank you. Right where you are. Friends, these are those among us who have said yes to leadership. We want you to know who they are and to know that they're accessible and ready to listen with you for God's will among us as a congregation. I'd like to take this moment to pray for you and to consecrate you to this work to which you've been called. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these friends in our midst who have said yes to particular roles of leadership in our church. Everything from the trustees and staff parish relations committee to hospitality and ministries of mercy and justice. Each one is uniquely gifted and each one is willing to serve you and our neighbors that the loving light of Christ might shine ever more brightly through this congregation so that those beyond our walls might know your unconditional love and find here a place of sanctuary and belonging. We pray this prayer of consecration for their work, that you would give them wisdom and patience, courage and faith. We trust that you are leading us, O God, and we ask for your Spirit to give us the discernment and the faith to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now please remain standing, those of you who are our designated leaders for the year, and I invite everyone now to stand as you're able, because each one of you is also called to ministry in different ways, in different places throughout our community. And I want to invite all of us now to join in this prayer that's called the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer, to give us each a chance to recommit ourselves to the work to which we are called. Will you join me in this prayer? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. The ministry that we do together is animated by our prayers. And so we come now to this time of shared congregational prayer with and for one another. We want to know one another's concerns and joys as a family of faith. And so we invite you to share those with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them in the offering plate as it goes by. If you're worshiping online or any day of the week, you can go to the church's website, and under Contact Us, there's a link for you to share your prayer concerns. And let us know if you'd like those published in the bulletin or if you'd like for those to be kept confidential. Your pastoral staff meets every Monday, praying for each one by name. So we hope that you know we are praying with you. We do have some joys and some griefs to share as a congregation this morning. We have a rosebud on the altar today, which celebrates the birth of Lucille Newald Brown. She was born on January 16th to Jared and Ann Rawls Brown, and is welcomed also by her proud grandparents, Laura and Charlie Newald, and her siblings, Laura and Tim's Brown. Today, we also pray for Laura and Fred McLaughlin and their family as they're mourning the death of Laura's father, Reverend Roy H. Ryan, who passed away on January 19th in Tupelo, Mississippi. A celebration of life will be held there later in February. And we pray also today for Kyle and Rebecca Collier and their family, who are mourning the death of Kyle's grandmother, Gloria Collier, who passed away on January 20th in Oregon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all peoples, God of the poor and of the rich, of the well and of the sick, of the old and the young, of the oppressed and the oppressor, of the free and the bound, you are the God of all people. We thank you for reminding us that we are yours. We have heard your voice calling us beloved. In this moment of silence, help us to hear your voice once again and claim your love. This morning we have heard the voice of Jesus announcing your mission in the world to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, comfort to the brokenhearted. As your people, we want to be about your mission with our prayers and our actions in the world. So today, as we gather, our first action is to pray for your world. O God of the poor, there are many in our midst who struggle to make ends meet, who are weighed down by rising rent prices and lack of employment and scarcity of resources. Hear our prayers and guide our actions that we might bring good news of presence and help. God of the brokenhearted, there are many in this congregation, in our community, who are grieving today, whose hearts are broken by the absence of a loved one who is no longer with us. We pray together for all who grieve and ask that you help us to be instruments of your comfort and your peace. God of us all, there are many in our community today who are afraid. We pray for the students, teachers, and administrators of Antioch High School whose lives were upended by gunshots in a place where no guns should be. And for students throughout our city who went into lockdown or went to bed at night afraid and uncertain. Oh God, help us bring comfort and guide our actions that we might be instruments of change and renewal. God, this morning there are many in our families, in our congregation, in our neighborhoods, in our city, who have recently come to this land seeking a better life, but are now afraid of being sent away, of having their families broken apart, of being treated with contempt because of who they are. Merciful God, help us to be people of compassion, that your church might be a sanctuary of love and a house of prayer for all people. God of mercy, there is much need around us, in our own lives and circles of care, and in our community and your world. But your love and power are greater than all our needs. You are our healer, our redeemer, and the savior of the world. We hear your voice reminding us of who we are and whose we are. We hear Jesus' call to join him in his mission, and we trust your Holy Spirit to guide us, empower us, and show us the next right step. And so in this faith and in this hope, and in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We can take concrete action to fulfill the mission of Christ through our gifts. Our giving goes to empower the ministries of this church and our partners in ministry to bring about God's love in this community and beyond. And so we gather our gifts together this day. If you're here in the sanctuary, our ushers will be passing the offering plates, and you can give in that way. There's also a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan, and you can give digitally through that method. If you're worshiping with us online, there's a link you can follow to give through the website. We give in faith, knowing that God receives our gifts and multiplies them to bring about God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
to have a seat. As I mentioned before, our family is growing today. Today we have two individuals that have said that this is where they want to be a family, to grow in their faith. And so I want to invite Kimberly and Ashley to come forward this morning. I want to introduce our new family members to you guys. First, we have Ashley Aston. Ashley comes to West End all the way from Colloquia. Did I say that right?
Colioka,
Tennessee, which is near Columbia, where she is a student at Columbia State University. She enjoys camping and kayaking, having a house full of pets, and spending time with her family. One of her favorite ways to serve is within the mental health community, and she has already been a part of that work here at West End, and so we are so thankful. We also have Kimberly Bell. Kimberly comes by transfer of her membership from a sister United Methodist Church in Richmond, Virginia. She's employed by American Express and is the Director of Technology and Innovation. She and her husband Joe have been attending West End for years, and she is so happy to be joining us as a member. Kimberly and Ashley, we are excited to welcome you into the life of this community and give thanks for who you are and how God will continue to work in you while you're in this place, and we will grow as a result of that work in you as well. Ashley, I do have one question specifically for you. Ashley, as a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And for both of you, as member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. And for all of us gathered here, both in person and online, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members with the liturgy printed in your bulletin. Family of God, Ashley and Kimberly are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you and the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I would like to invite you all to come to Reed Hall at the end of the service and to meet Ashley and Kimberly and welcome them into the family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Oh God, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to end with what I started with the kids. You're good at something. And you're good at something because that's the way God made you. Go from this place knowing that the power of Christ is within you to love God and to love all the people that you come in contact with so that they can know God's love for themselves. Go in peace.